This morning I wanted to share a few thoughts on our being faithful to God. God has been faithful to us, but He expects us to be faithful to Him too. Somebody said that being faithful in little things is a big thing, but being faithful in big things and being unfaithful in small things is the way of the world. And in the world, we know that majority of the people, they are faithful in many great things. They don't rob the banks. They don't kill people just like that. They don't sign false witnesses. And so many things like that. They don't do all major sins, but they do minor things. Like for instance, like pilfering from offices, like papers, clips, pins, pens. We don't take away big things from office, like computers and tables, chairs and furniture. But most, even Christians, are used to pilfering. Plundering is one thing which we don't do, but pilfering many do. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy, or in other words, faithful. That one be found faithful. This is what God expects, because God is a faithful God and He wants His children to be like Him, to be faithful, true and honest, upright, sincere. And it is very important that one be found faithful. You know, on the day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God will not tell us, you were very successful, you were very smart or capable. But you know that parable where the Lord told in Matthew 25, this is about the usage of talents or usage of money. You know this, I'm not going to read it. He gave to each one according to his ability, verse 15, and went on his journey. One he gave five, to another two, to another one talent, like that. Then when he came back, he wanted them to account for it. And when the first one came and he said, Master, you gave me five talents and I traded it and I have made five talents more. And what does the master say? He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And to the second one also, he says the same thing, well done, good and faithful servant. And the third one, who was given one talent, he was afraid of his master. I don't know for what. He had not understood his master's heart properly. And he thought that, he says in verse 25 of chapter 25, I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But you know what the master says to him? He says to him, you wicked, lazy slave. To the first two he said, good and faithful. And here he says, instead of good, he says wicked. Instead of faithful, he says not unfaithful, but he says lazy. Unfaithfulness comes later on, but laziness precedes it. When we are lazy in what we have been given, in not employing what we have been entrusted with, then it will lead us to unfaithfulness and wickedness. You see, in verse 27 you can read, the master says, then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on arrival, I would have received my money with interest. See, in the New Testament, we have these two words, bank and interest. God is not opposed to that. Jesus himself said that. You can put your money in the bank and earn interest. And everything that we have belongs to him. We are stewards of God's money or whatever he has blessed us with. It could be property, wealth, intelligence, gifts, talents, abilities, or anything for that matter. Whatever we have been blessed with, God expects a return from that. And he says there's nothing wrong in putting your money in the bank and earning interest. But in the old covenant, it was commanded that a Jew should not lend money on interest to a fellow Jew, because they were all brothers. So if a person lends money with an exorbitant interest, that is wrong. According to this, you can probably earn interest at the bank rate. But if you give like these credit card people charge you 2% or 3% per month, that amounts to about 36% per annum or 24%. That is evil, to take advantage of a brother in the church like that and making money out of that. That God is opposed to. Because all money belongs to the Lord. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means all that the earth contains belongs to him. And the salary that you get is not your own. Remember that, because God owns everything. I can't say this is my salary, I have earned it. Who gave you the health and the wisdom to earn it? If God had stricken you down with some deficiency in your brain, with some iodine or something like that, we would all have been zombies, would not be able to work, we would be dependent on others. But because we work, because God has given us health and strength, we earn and we think that if it is ours. No. Everything belongs to the Lord, and it depends on how we use it. Some use it wisely, and some multiply it, and some blow it up. The more you give them, the more they blow up, because they want to keep up with the Joneses. That is not the way to live. God expects us to save. You may quote me a verse. Jesus said, lay up not treasures on earth. Yeah, that he said once. But, you know, it is biblical to save. Joseph, when he knew that 7 years famine is going to come, he saved up for the nation. And today, if Egypt is on the map, world map, they should thank Joseph, because he saved that entire nation and the world, the then world. And Paul says, the parents have to save for the children. And Proverbs 6:6 it says, go and learn from the ant, you sluggard. You know how tiny the ant is? Some ants are so tiny that you can barely see them. Some are a little bigger. And in that tiny body of the ant, you see the head of it and the brain of it. You may have to just use some microscope or something to see its brain. In that little brain, God has blessed it with some wisdom, by which it saves food in summer for winter. Because it knows that when winter comes, when it is raining, I will not be able to go out and find food. So the man who wrote Proverbs, He says, go and learn from that. So we need to be wise in the use of money. And what do we do with the money that we have? See, God has not given everybody the same amount of money. He has given to some more and to some less. The majority of the people who control the world economy, they say, are 1%. The remaining 99% are all middle class and lower class. And it depends on how we make good use of money. It says in Luke chapter 3 verse 14, the man John the Baptist, he said, when the soldiers came and asked him, what about us, what shall we do? And the answer that John the Baptist gives them at the end of verse 14, it says, be content with your wages. And that means be satisfied with what you have. Don't stretch beyond your earnings, your expenses. Don't stretch them beyond your earnings. In other words, cut your coat according to the cloth that you have. Paul also said in 1 Timothy 6:6, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain indeed. If a person is content, Paul said that in Philippians 4, verse 11, I think. He said, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. If I have, I'll make use of it. If I don't have, many a times, he says he went hungry. Because there was nothing, he didn't go begging and borrowing and hinting that he was in need. He just thanked God and slept probably empty stomach. And God expects us, gives us and tests us as to how we use it. And what is more wicked and worse is that there are some kind of people who, however much they earn also, they don't save. They just blow it up and blow it up and blow it up. First week, second week, and then they are bankrupt. Then they go and beg from others and borrow from others. And when you beg and borrow from others, you know what you are? You are a slave to the lender. It says in Proverbs 7 verse 11, it says the borrower is a slave to the lender. So God doesn't want us to be slaves like that, slaves of men. He wants us to be free. He has set us free. He has made us kings and priests. And when we violate God's words and don't live according to that, then, like that verse says in Ecclesiastes, he who jumps over the wall will be bitten by a snake. That means when you extend your expenditure more than your income, you're jumping over the wall and you get bitten by a snake. That means you'll be in trouble. Remember that. Learn to be content with what you have. Learn to live within your means, and God will bless you the little that he gives you. And there is a verse in Mark 11, this Jesus himself condemned when the Pharisees had this kind of attitude to get and get and get more and more for themselves. He says in Mark 7 verse 11, he says, or rather we can read from verse 9, he was saying to them, to the Pharisees and scribes, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, If a man says to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is korban. Korban means I gave it to God, or I tithed it, or I put it in the offering box. No, Jesus condemned that. In the old covenant they were asked to pay the tithe. But Jesus said here, if your father or mother or any of your blood relatives is in need, you have an obligation to help them financially. Don't say that I gave an offering, I put that money in the offering box. Jesus is not happy with that. That's why you put 5 conditions before you put your money in the offering box. We never preach about on tithing, and we never preached it here for the last 44 years, and we never will till the Lord comes. And Paul said the same thing in 1 Timothy 5:8. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain indeed. If you're content with godliness, that's great gain indeed. And God expects you to be faithful with the money or resources that He has blessed you with. And the second thing that I want to speak about is our time. The time that God gives us, how we use it. Number one is finance or money. Number two is time. You see, when it comes to finance, God gives to different people a different amount of money. But when it comes to time, whether a man is rich or poor, is great or small, strong or weak, intelligent or foolish, good looking or bad looking, white man or black man, everybody in the world has only 24 hours. God is impartial when it comes to time. He has given each one of us 24 hours in a day. And how we make use of that 24 hours determines what we become. If you use that properly, then you will make headway. If you waste your time lazing around, you will become like that man, lazy, wicked, and unfaithful. If you're not faithful with your time, you're unfaithful in life. You will become unfaithful in life, because there is a saying that an American poet in the 19th century called Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he said something like this: great heights reached and achieved not by sudden flight, but by men who, while their companions slept, they were toiling upwards in the night. That is how they made progress in their life. And they achieved what they achieved. And their companions slept blissfully and didn't amount to much. This doesn't mean that we need to stay awake and sleep less. No. The Bible says in Psalm 127 that God gives His beloved sleep. In another translation it says, God gives His beloved in sleep. You don't have to. Maybe we can turn there. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. That doesn't mean that we have to burn our midnight oil and stay awake and deprive sleep. God doesn't expect us to burn our candles from both ends. He wants you to have proper rest. If you don't have proper rest and you want to, according to this verse, you keep on slogging all through, according to what Wordsworth said, Longfellow said, you keep on working without taking proper rest, your body immunity comes down, your health goes down, and you may die prematurely. God doesn't want that. He wants you to have proper rest at the proper time and make the best use of the time available when you're awake. Moses prayed in Psalm 90. Moses said his prayer was Psalm 90, verse 12. He said, so teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. The man who lived 120 years, he prays here, Lord, teach me to number my days, so that at the end of my days I may present unto you a heart of wisdom. If I don't make my goal in life to gain a heart of wisdom and to be a wiser man by the day, then I'm wasting my time on earth. Ephesians 5:16, it says something similar. Ephesians 5:16. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil, means redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Because time is short, like Paul says. Time is short. Everybody has only 24 hours. And we have to redeem it. Make the best use of it. And like Mahatma Gandhi said, your future depends on what you do today. Don't expect a glorious future by wasting your today. If you are industrious and diligent and careful with your with the use of your time that's available to you, that's allotted to you, then your future will be good and glorious. Your future depends on what you do today. And it depends on how faithful we are in our time. Am I faithful in other things? But when it comes to the meetings, I come at, if the meeting is at 10 o'clock, I walk in at 10:30, 10:45 or 11 o'clock. That is not faithfulness. Such people, even if the meeting is at 11 o'clock, they will come at 11:30 or 12 o'clock. If the meeting is at 10 o'clock, they come at 10:30, 11:45, 10:45, things like that. If you're not faithful in the little things and the things that are not yours, that's what Jesus said. If you're unfaithful in what is not yours, who will give you what is yours? The true riches, that is, things relating to eternity and things relating to God and heavenly gifts and graces and the fullness of the Spirit. If you're not faithful in your time and money and talents, how in the world you can expect God to bless you? He will never bless you. He will never make you a blessing. Would you go to your office late, half an hour, 45 minutes every day? You'd lose your job. Or if the governor of the state calls you and gives you a appointment and you go strolling half an hour or 1 hour late, you'll be sent back. That slot will be given to somebody else. But a church, oh, who cares? You come. I'm not condemning those who have small children. Your kids may throw up just before you start, or they may dirty their diapers. You may have to change that. You're excused. But those who are grown up and have grown up children and come regularly irregular and regularly late, and they can't expect to make any headway in their spiritual life. What you are today, after 20 years, you will be the same in the next 20 years. Don't expect any change in your life to happen if you're not faithful in your time. Time is very precious. You can't accumulate it like you accumulate your leave in the office. At the end of the year, you can either encash it or you can utilize it. But 24 hours, if you don't use it properly, that gets lapsed. It cannot be accumulated, mind you. Take time very seriously. We are here for a short time, and when our call comes, we are gone. And the third thing that I want to talk about faithfulness in being faithful in our talents. You see, God has given to each one of us, every one of us, a talent, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each one is blessed with something when we are born. Some natural talents, and after you have been born and become a child of God, the Holy Spirit imparts some gifts to the believers. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It says to each one, he's speaking to the believers, not to unbelievers. Unbelievers have their natural talents that they were born with, and they have to be faithful with that. And to believers who have been baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit imparts His gifts, supernatural gifts. To each one is given the manifestation or the gifts of the Spirit for the common good, like the gift of wisdom or knowledge or faith or healing or working of miracles or prophecy or distinguishing of spirits, or interpretation of tongues, or helps, or administration, and so on and so forth. God has blessed His church so that we all can be equipped. We all can be equipped for the building up of the body of Christ. Don't you ever hide your gift like that man hid his talent and said, "Lord, here it is, you take it." And the Lord says, "You wicked and lazy fellow, I will treat you by your own words. You think I am a hard and exacting man? I will be the same thing to you." Then He hands him over to punishment. Let us not be like that. And there is another verse in 1 Peter 4:10 in the same connection. Peter says, 1 Peter 4:10, "As each one has received a special gift," this is again, he is speaking to believers, this is not to unbelievers, this is those who have been given gifts for building up of the church. It says, "Each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards or servants of the manifold grace of God," or multicolored or varied kind of grace of God, or gifts of God, different varieties of gifts. "Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies." This was one of the words that Brother Ian gave me when I was struggling. He told, "Do according to the strength that God supplies." You know, something that you cannot naturally do, and you are able to do now, you can be sure that that is not of yours, so that no flesh can boast about it. There are some naturally gifted people in certain areas, that is not a big thing, but in certain areas where people are struggling, and they just cannot do it, it's impossible for them to do it, and God blesses them in that area, In that weakest point of theirs, God anoints them and gives them grace. Then they will be able to do it with ease. And when they do it with ease, they know that it is not me. It's the grace of God, like Paul said. Whatever I have accomplished is not me, but the grace of God which accomplished it through me. We can say that so that no flesh can boast, all the glory will go to God. And one last word in Ephesians chapter 4, in connection with the same, verse 11, he gave gifts, verse 10, and verse 11, he says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors or shepherds, some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Do not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Verse 14. You hear something on the television, some charismatic preacher with great charisma and personality, and you feel, boy, this is the truth. And you go there. Another day you hear another fellow talking about something else, which may not be there in scripture, and you think that man is, you consider him to be a man of God, and you swallow that. And such people will never make progress in their spiritual life unless they check it like the Bereans did with the word of God, whether what this fellow is preaching is in accordance with God's word or he's speaking from his head. And when you compare scripture with scripture like the Bereans did, probably that is one of the reasons why Paul didn't have to write to the church at Berea. So, don't be carried away by every wind of doctrine, but, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, that by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Dear brothers and sisters, be faithful in what God has given you. Especially, there are a number of areas in which we can be faithful before God's face, but these three things, I felt it is very important, like money, time, and talents. Be extremely careful and faithful in these areas and see if your life doesn't change in the next year. You will testify to that. If you remain like this, even after 25 years, you'll remain the same. God bless.
I believe that we heard God's heart today. The Lord is concerned about us, including me. The Lord spoke to me that I can be more faithful because He zealously desires our spirit. Because our spirit belongs to Him, He has purchased our life by the precious blood of Christ. So it belongs to Him, as we heard earlier. Everything belongs to Him. That's the reason He wants our life to go in the path which He has set for us. That is very essential. That's the reason He speaks what He has spoken today. As we read in Hebrew, Galatians 5, that faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot just say, I'll do this. Not is, it's not a resolution if it fails. So we must go to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Equip me, Lord. I can't. My nature is against the nature of God. I have a flesh. I don't have that naturally to be faithful. Because that's God's character. Faithfulness is God's character. That's why the Lord says in Hebrews, we can read that, Hebrews 5, verse 12. This is what came to me when I was hearing verse 12. It's a well-known verse, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principle of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, not solid food. Here, what I see is the Lord is trying to tell us, you should have grown by this time if you had responded, or if you had been faithful in little things. Sometimes we have, in the world, we have different priorities, value system rather. See, like 1 lakh is more valuable. 100 rupees or 1,000 rupees is not so valuable as 1 lakh. We have a difference, different values. For example, if I take 100 rupees from a brother and say, okay, I'll return it later. Or if I take 1 lakh from a brother, I should make better attempt to give him back. But in God's heart, God is not looking at the value of the money. God is looking at our heart, our attitude to faithfulness. That's what I see. For God, it's not the money, it's faithfulness. What attitude we have toward that. So that's why faithfulness in the area of time, faithfulness in the area of finance, or faithfulness in the area of gifts. God has given us gifts in many ways. Different ways. God has given us talents. God has given us education. God has given us eyes to see, hands to work. In every area, God has given us the talents. Not only spiritual, even spiritual also. See, if we are not making that attempt, or if we don't understand that principle, everything belongs to God. My time, it's not mine. It belongs to God. I would like to read that verse in Romans chapter 12. I want to read the last verse of chapter 11, verse 36. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Here we see that everything belongs to God. So, therefore, Paul is urging that present your bodies. When he says bodies, he's saying everything. Our time, our talents, our finance, everything. That's what he is urging. This is the spiritual worship. You give everything. Then the important word I see here is the verse 2 is, you may prove what the will of God is. See, I want to think of Jesus, how Jesus lived, how he was faithful. He was not planning, I want to do this, not like that. He was faithful at that moment to the voice and the will of God. That's what we all need to be faithful. Like we heard about finances, being faithful with money in like I learned from the ant, gathering, not wasting. But same time, there is faithfulness in after. See, there are some who are very clever or careful in collecting or keeping their finances, but for them, what is the area of faithfulness and how they spend it, where they spend it? See, like that, the faithfulness is the main character here. That's what I was thinking here. So, in Romans 11:36, Romans 12:2, what we read was, this is the will of God. So, what I need to understand from the Lord Jesus is that, where, in every moment of my life, what is God's will? When I know God's will, I have to do that. I have to be faithful to the will of God. So I want to continue reading here in Hebrews chapter 3. So when we see Jesus' character was, Lord, tell me what to do at this time. There was a time he said, want to go to the cross. I have to die. Then Peter comes and says, no, Lord, you should not. And Jesus' reaction was, no. It's the will of God. I need to be faithful there. So it is not that I should look for my comfort. That is not my focus. My focus is I want to obey the will of God. I want to be faithful to the voice of God. So what we read here in chapter 3 Hebrews is, holy brethren, verse 1, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as just so much. And also verse 5 says Moses was faithful, and verse 6 says Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. So that's what the responsibility falls on us. Since Christ was faithful in every little areas where the will of God was, so we have to hold that confidence and be faithful. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then verse 12, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. And verse 13, what we read today as a memory verse, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What I understand here is, God wants to tell me every moment of my life, this is what the will of God is. He wants to tell me, Holy Spirit wants to tell me, this is what I need to do. I need to respond to. So I need to hear that voice and be faithful to it. Respond to. Faithfulness is responding to his will or the voice. And if I do that, then my hearts will not be hardened. My heart will not be hardened. And I can encourage others to do this, to be faithful to the voice of the Holy Spirit, so that their hearts will not be hardened. That's why we need to encourage one another. That's what I understand. And also, as we read, that by this time we should have been grown. I put it in other words, by this time we should have grown. That's the heart of God is. That God is interested in our welfare. And we read in Matthew 11, take my yoke. That's what Jesus said. See, Jesus is not giving us a big yoke. Oh, you need to be like just leaving you, saying that you be faithful. No. Jesus is telling, come to me. I know it is difficult. I'll be with you. Just do what I say. That's what that comforts me. That I just need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, just tell me what is the will of God is. I want to be faithful. And please help me. The Lord says, I will be with you. And I will help you to be faithful step by step. And I just want to close with this. Matthew what we read, Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 24. So this third person, well, one talent was given to him. His reaction was, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scatter no seed." See, this is basically what I understand is that he had a wrong understanding of God. See, that could be the reason many times we may not yield to the will of God, thinking that the God is giving me some hard path to walk and he may leave me halfway. That may be the fear. We may have that fear. That's why we are not giving in to the will of God and we are not faithful in responding to his voice in many areas of our life. Like finances, we may say, "Lord, no, I can't do this according to what God is trying to tell me," or maybe some godly advices. And then I try to do my own, fearing that, oh, I have to preserve myself, I have to take my own decision. Many things like that. Even for some, when they have to take a decision to follow the Lord, they may be afraid, "Lord, how can I give my life completely to you? I have to think over it." Something like that. See, we may have that fear, thinking that God may break me or spoil my life. So that could be the reason. That's the misunderstanding this person had. That's why he could not give in to God's will. I pray that the Lord help us to understand his heart and also know that he is a good father who has a good plan, so that we can respond to his voice and will in every small areas of our life, so that we can be faithful and grow in the Lord. Amen.